Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Ken Weeks from Wormhole Writers News Agency in San Francisco, and we're here today with Martin Wood, the executive producer of Primeval New World. As most fans of Primeval New World know, Space Channel elected not to renew the series for a second season, and Mr. Wood has been kind enough to chat with us a little bit about the directions of the where the executive production staff and Omni Film are going with this. Good morning, Martin.
Morning.
How's everything in Vancouver?
Oh, it's good. It's a little bit rainy this morning, but it's always a little bit rainy here in Vancouver, so it's good.
We interviewed someone last Sunday on You Decide, and they commented that they've been there 11 years, and it's been 10 years of rain, but they love it there. So.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Pretty much. But when the sun comes out, everybody here forgets that it's rainy all the time, and we think we live in a great place on Earth. So.
Well, I don't know.
The rain only lasts a very short term in your memory.
Yeah, I live in, as you know, I live in San Francisco, and we're always fog bound. I think it's kind of mystic and romantic. But Martin, you know, our condolences on the announcement of Space Channel, not renewing it for a second season. But is it not correct that Primeval New World is running in 17 other countries at the present time?
It is. I mean, it's running and being sold around the world right now. So. And selling very well around the world.
Well, that's outstanding news. Well, I've noticed some tweets from the Primeval New World account on Twitter. That's at Primeval New World, but without the O, that you are looking for other options for a season two. Is that correct?
The thing is that only one broadcaster says they didn't want us back. And unfortunately, it was our primary broadcaster. And there were a number of different factors involved in that. What was quoted was that it was a decline in ratings or a faltering ratings in it, which just really wasn't necessarily the case. And the ratings were actually holding their own. And I think that part of the problem we had with it was on a first-year series, you're always going to have that kind of problem, and you need to promote it, and you need to sort of get out there and make sure everybody knows it's on television. And I think that Space Channel has been going through some changes. They just announced a rebrand for the station, and they're looking at changing sort of their image a little bit. And I think that Primeval kind of got caught in the crossfire. Primeval is a very expensive show for them, very expensive. And it's one of those things where it becomes a situation of economics, only economics. Everybody there loved the show. The show was well-loved at the network. They loved the production value, they loved the story, they loved the characters, they loved the actors. That wasn't the problem. The problem was simply the cost of the show is high. So what we're trying to do right now, Omni and especially E1, the distributor, are looking at potential different ways to put this show into a second season. It's difficult because we've had to take it apart, but we specifically left the end of the first season with the ability to be able to do this, and I think it was a very clever move on our part to be able to say, look, we can do whatever we need to with it because the last line of the show is we changed something. You know, sorry if that's a spoiler.
Yes, it is a spoiler for me, but as you know, Patricia Stewart Bertrand, our senior producer, she's been keeping me up to date on the spoilers. But yeah, please go ahead. You know, Space Channel is a great group of people. We've had the honor of working with Teddy Wilson, AJ Fry, and at WonderCon, Comic-Con, other conventions around Canada, the United States. They're great folks, and sometimes these things happen. So I'm excited to hear that you left the Matrix flexible regarding placement of the program with a new primary broadcaster.
Well, I mean, at this point, it's really, again, unfortunately, for the fans, whenever you're dealing with this kind of thing, it almost inevitably comes down to finance. And with a show, when you've got CG giant dinosaurs spending as much time on the screen as we do, it's an expensive proposition. And so the financing is kind of a Rubik's Cube, and those things have to fall into place before you can actually get into, you know, further seasons of it. Now, once you actually do produce a number of seasons of it, it can start to pay off. But making television is not necessarily upfront a money-making venture. So corporations have to, you know, weigh that and say, if this isn't going to make us this much money, then what do we do? And that's why, unfortunately, the creative gets so banged around so much, is that everybody is trying to fit that corporate, you know, what is wanted, what is needed, what are people pay for.
Well, it is a business, and something that some fans and admirers of many series have difficulty internalizing is that, you know, if a primary broadcaster is not able to generate enough advertising revenue, they mm-hmm. they may not be making money. I won't name all the shows, but it's happened.
And I think that this is part of the reason why, I mean, and coming right down to brass tacks with this, it's part of the reason why television should be watched while it's being broadcast, not PVR'd, not, not swiped from the net, not watched later on the net, because quite honestly, if you love a show, the best thing for you to do is watch it the hour it's being broadcast. That is the best thing you can do for that show. You're just watching it and binging on it and getting it off the net illegally or something like that is going to kill that show. And that's really what happens a lot of times. It's what happened to Sanctuary. It's what happened, you know, when you look at the numbers for something like Sanctuary and for Primeval, where your numbers double on your PVRs in 7 days, you know, like there's double the number of people watching over the next 7 days, but advertisers are not as interested, although that is changing now. The advertisers are listening to that because they're finding that most people actually watch more of the ads when they have it on their PVR because they're fast-forwarding through it. So than they do when they're, you know, they get up and walk away from it when it's on television. But again, the worst factor here is you know, taking it off the net and watching it illegally, because that will kill a show. And it's been the death of too many really good shows in the past.
No, we agree completely. As you know, we reported confidentially to yourself and some folks at Omni about a group that, and I'm going to leave them unmentioned, it's being handled by, we've reported it to Google, who owns YouTube. The entire series of Primeval was on an illegal channel, not once, but they did it four times. We reported it three times through YouTube, and the channel was killed, and then the guy came back with a different name, a guy or gal, we don't know exactly who, came back with a different name, and it is, you know, yet to be taken down. But to let the viewing audience know about, you know, supporting a program, this group or fellow or gal, who, whatever it is, had over 500,000 views on their channel for Primeval. And that's only the data that I have for the first half of the season. I haven't looked at the rest of it. And so, yes, PVR is changing. Here in the United States on digital cable, when you look at a DVR'd copy of a show, they've disabled the fast forwarding because the commercials are important. You know, people don't like commercials. I don't know. I like them. And I'll tell you why. We like them at Warner Writers because of one reason. They finance the shows that we love.
That's quite true.
You know, with your program, I couldn't see it. I haven't seen it yet. As you know, I'm in the United States, and we're waiting for it to come out on Sci-Fi. But when a program airs, we look at the program sponsors, and we will tweet, thank you, you know, XYZ company for supporting this program, to give if they've got a Twitter account or a Facebook account. So,
And I think that you know, everybody thinks in the privacy of their own home that, well, I'll just do this and everybody else can support it. But it's those 500,000 people that are doing that think that they have no impact on it, that are actually killing, you know, the shows.
Yeah.
Primeval would be back if you know, a third of the people that were watching it illegally stopped doing it, you know, and watched it live. So that is when you look at this kind of thing, when you look at shows like Sanctuary and Primeval and things like that, and you think, well, how could their, you know, it's such a good show, how could their ratings be faltering? They're not. The ratings are still getting to the same number of eyeballs. It's just whether they're getting to the eyeballs that the network wants them to get to at the time when they want them to that is the difference.
Well, you know, many shows, Stargate Universe was another example of digital material leaked out into the Eastern Russian region, into China. The show was actually aired, in some cases, before it broadcast in Canada and the United States. And so, well, we could beat that horse. All I can suggest as the managing editor of WormWires is, you know, if you know friends that are watching these programs online, not at the official sanctioned station, a Space Channel, there's other great stations in Canada, CBC, CTV, encourage your friends not to do this because it hurts the programs. Martin, I presume that season two.
You know, I wanted to say one other thing. If you really want to preserve shows, but you want to watch them whenever you want to watch them, take your TV and turn it on to the Space Channel and just leave it on 24 hours a day, and that'll count you as watching that show. So, you know, it's
That's kind of funny because there are programs that I follow personally, and James Bamford, who I think you're aware of. During the days of Space.
Yeah, I worked with James for a long time.
Yeah, and Sanctuary, I used to do these marathons, and to set a record, how many times could I watch a program in 24 hours? Now, of course, the maximum number was 24, although on some of the DVR versions, they shortened the commercial, so it was only like 48 minutes of actual airtime with commercial.
Yeah.
And for Stargate Universe, nothing against Sanctuary, I love the show, but I watched it 28 times in 24 hours. I drank an awful lot of coffee, Martin. And,
yeah,
one of those views that I watched on the DVR counted towards the and James used to rib me and says, where are you at now? Where are we at with this this marathon count? With Sanctuary, I think I did it 20 on one of my favorite episodes. But, watch the programs, and on the digital cable networks, they're counting those PVR views. That you, maybe you can share a little bit about the what they call the plus 3, plus 7 numbers.
Well, I think that what's happening now is that you get these metrics back eventually. It takes a long time for them to get them back, but what ends up happening is that marketing in these stations gets back the metrics from, you know, what's watched the second day and what's watched up to the seventh day. And advertisers are, once again, looking at this because of the fact that they found that more people sit and watch the fast-forwarded commercials than tend to watch and pay attention to them, because you're watching to see when your show comes back on. So you're actually watching these commercials in fast forwards.
Well, in the United States, just not to interrupt, but in the United States, on Comcast and a couple of other very large distributors, fast forward is disabled. Now, some people are frustrated about this, but what the broadcasters have done, as I mentioned, rather than a 60-minute program, you know, with all the ads, they have now targeted different ads that didn't air when it aired on TV, and so it's like 48, 50 minutes, and the people don't mind as much. In other words, instead of a one-minute commercial block, you get 20 seconds or three tens or something like that. But Martin, Primeval New World is one of the finest series, in my opinion, that was on the air in Canada. And again, I live vicariously through Patricia's.
It was ranked as the number one original program on Space.
Yeah.
It was seventh of their top 10, I think. And all the other shows were acquisitions, so it was their original. It was seventh in that list, but it was the only original program in the top 10.
Well, you know, we admire Space for coming forward on Primeval Season 1. Of course, I can't wait to, whether I have to wait for Sci-Fi to broadcast or buy the DVDs. And a question on that point, does Omni, E1, yourself, the production team, have plans to put out the product on DVD?
Well, we've been putting everything aside for it. We've been putting additional scenes aside. We've been doing behind the scenes. So there's a lot of material for the DVDs right now. So the plan is still to make DVDs yet.
That's outstanding. Well, I know that I'll have a copy here when it comes out, and that it will be a legal copy. For the fans and admirers of Primeval New World, is it, without going into spoilers, is it fair to say that season two is ready to rock? should you find another primary broadcaster?
We have grand plans, is all I'm going to say.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. There are grand plans in the works and have been since we sort of finished the season one. And, there is, at the point when we heard from space that we were not coming back, we literally had the crew on hold, the cast on hold, the studios on hold. We had everything, including the truck, sitting there idling, ready to go. And when we got the call, it was devastating because all of us were sure it was coming back. There was no reason why it shouldn't, except for the fact that, again, for those of us that knew how much it cost, it was a huge expense and one that the decision was difficult for Bell. It was not easy for Bell Media to do that. I'm not saying anything against them because I love working with them. The people that I work directly with in space and in Bell Media are wonderful people who really encourage things to be experimented with, and you know they are very, very encouraging for the show. Their notes are always good, so you know I know that they love the show. I know that they do. I've talked to each of them individually since we've been told. And all of them expressed the same thing, that it was a very, very difficult decision for them.
Well, speaking of Bell Media, yes, we're aware that they acquired space. We've had the privilege of communicating and working with them also, some of their senior people at conventions and on projects. They're great people like space and like all networks, including Sci-Fi and all the majors. And one of the things that... I'd like to ask you about, if you would like to comment, is you know, when a series is canceled, I don't like to use that word, I like to say non-renewed, some people get angry at a broadcast network like Space or Sci-Fi or ABC, NBC, CBS, the CTV. What can you share with the fans about you know, not expressing impolite comments, to put it politely, to the networks?
Well, I mean, I understand what the fans are doing because ultimately it is the decision of the network. So if you're going to get mad at anybody, you have to get mad at them. You know, but understanding that it's a corporation and understanding that its motivation is not, to make people happy. It's to make people happy so people buy the product.
Yes.
You know, and quite honestly, the people to get mad at, as I said before, are the people who made the ratings low, even though they're watching the show. You know, that's where the anger should be directed in this case. And I think that, you know, a groundswell of people saying, I'm not going to do this illegally because it is affecting the shows that I love. It is affecting all these things. It's what the broadcasters are freaking out about right now because they cannot pull these people back in. If anything, I mean, the only blame you can ever put on a broadcaster is you didn't promote it enough.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing, and everybody knows this, it's a very, very simple process. If you want people to watch your show, you have to tell them it's on and tell them when. You know, the idea of, if you're talking to people and you say, yeah, I work on Prime Evil, and they say, well, I didn't even know you were on the air yet. That is an indication to you that you're in trouble, you know. If they say, ew, yeah, I've seen the ad for that, then you know you're in good shape because then even people who aren't necessarily going to watch it have seen the ad. That's all you need. So that's the only reason you really have to get mad at a network is they're doing what they do. They are doing what they do. And quite honestly, the lower down the ladder you get, the closer to the production executives that work on the show who tend not to have controlling power, those people are the ones that are really concerned about the show. They're concerned about the integrity of the show, the creativity, all that kind of stuff. The further up the ladder you get, the less inclined they are to be, friends of the show and more, what are the numbers? How does it make us money?
It's a business, Martin, and I was, before Hollywood North got started, I was involved with location services here in San Francisco, and people, sometimes fans, have a hard time internalizing that entertainment is a business, whether it's music, stage productions, television shows, or movies, and sufficient revenues have to be generated in order to pay for the cost of production. If not, it goes down the tubes, to put a pun in there. And you know, I don't want to blame YouTube specifically, as we all know they were bought by Google, They do their best to police their site. But speaking with some people at Omni, I'll leave their names unmentioned, the illegal tide, most of it coming from Eastern Europe and China, are websites that are broadcasting this material on the internet for free. And by the way, it's not for free. They've got ads placed on those, you know, your property, Primeval New World. They're generating revenue from it. And here at Wormhole Writers News Agency, we're in contact. Well, we're about to go in contact with Google, headquartered in Mountain View, and let them know that they need to do something because it's eroding their credibility on the internet. You know, and this person that put up this Dinosaur World 2013 or whatever it was, they actually were bragging that they were able to open up a new channel and they haven't been caught yet. And I know that right. hurt Primeval New World, and I'm sorry to hear about that stuff. But
right.
what would you say to folks about YouTube? I know you're a Canadian, but Nancy Reagan used to say, just say no, talking about drugs. Should we just say no to watching this illegal?
I don't think that there is that option any longer. I think that you know, as far as the next generation comes, they are going to be watching YouTube. They're going to be part of that group that is not going to be watching a broadcast station any longer. So what has to happen is that you know, the technology has to the technology is available. What has to happen is broadcasters have to catch up with that technology. And YouTube is not the disease. It's a symptom of the disease. You know, where we want something in the privacy of our computer and our home and on our phone, it's being offered, and people are willing to pay for it in terms of watching the ads on YouTube and watching that, you know, seeing the banners and all that kind of stuff. I think that monetizing that stuff on the net is a really big deal right now because everyone is using it. Everybody has access to it. And quite honestly, I mean, the thing is that you know, we tried this with Sanctuary. We tried to make it a viable internet tool, you know, where people could watch it, and if you liked it, you could pay for it, and you would get more. It doesn't work yet.
My Sanctuary was in the vanguard back in 2007 with that. I would say that I agree with you. The market's changing. If we look at Hulu, YouTube they are taking steps to, you know, control the content. As I mentioned, they killed this illegal Primeval New World channel three times, so it means that they're trying to do it. And so if all the fans get together and express their dissatisfaction, maybe just leaving a comment on the person who's stealing the content, and it is, it's theft, maybe that will help. We could beat that horse to death, but it is coming. It is here today, and I would like to conclude with...
I think, by the way, just Ken, the way to protest that site is to not go to it.
Yep.
You know, that's the way to protest it, is to not show up. Don't show up as a number that takes over that says view. You know, if it isn't viable for them, you know, it's and if you're not getting those views, then it's not viable. But quite honestly, that view that you put onto his site needs to be counted by the space network before you're going to be able to keep your shows in the air.
Well, the key is going to be, and it is happening for the broadcast networks. We've seen it with a number of great shows like Arctic Air. Sci-Fi's done it with a lot of their shows where they have extended promotional trailers, and they put the trailers of the next episodes out well before, I mean, immediately, before the people that would steal it can get any hits from it, and that is working as well. I would like to end this interview by thanking you for your time and spending time today to talk about Primeval New World and what you're doing. I presume that the Primeval New World account on Twitter and the Facebook will be advising the fans on progress
Absolutely.
For Season 2.
Absolutely.
Martin, thank you so much for your time today. This will go out with Patricia Stewart-Bertrand's final season one finale. I don't want to say final because I believe that we'll see more. But I want to see those dinosaurs here in San Francisco. Is there anything you'd like to say to the fans and supporters of Primeval New World? And that goes for all the cast, the crews, as well as the creators and the broadcast network, Bell and Space PR, before we conclude today.
I'm sorry, I missed. Did you ask me a question, Matt?
Would you like to say anything to the Prime?
Oh, I was listening to the list. And I thought, wow, that's an impressive list of people to be talking to. I think that from everybody that worked on the show, and I have been inundated with emails and texts and phone calls. I've had lunch and dinner with a number of different people from the cast and crew, and. I have to say that the outpouring of emotion when this show was not renewed has been remarkable. And I think that certainly coming off of a show like Sanctuary, where it was one of the best experiences I've ever had in my life, and then being able to pull most of the people back together and put them together on Primeval, I know what my next job is to find something for all these people to work on again, because I enjoy working with the cast and crew so much. And I see Amanda Tapping and Eddie Makeda, and I had lunch with Sarah the other day, Sarah Canning, and I talked to Niall last night. I'm having lunch with Gillian Horvath today. I talk to the people over at Omnia almost every day now. We're all hoping that there can be a Hail Mary in this to bring Primeval back to season two. And if not, then I'm looking for something else. And I'll bring it back together again. I'll put everybody that I can back into another series. So,
Martin, as Primeval New World is scheduled to appear on Sci-Fi later this year. Is there anything that the fans, that you'd suggest to the fans when it begins broadcasting on one of the major cable networks here in the United States, Sci-Fi?
The one thing that will help us the most, I think, in terms of being able to bring a second season back, even though it may be a bit of a Hail Mary for us, is that if it does well in the United States, that is the best indicator to anybody that we will be able to bring this show back, because a show that does well in the United States will become financially viable for the studio once again. So my advice would be, watch the show and watch it on Sci-Fi and watch it live,
And tweet about it, Facebook about it.
Be there and make your presence known to the broadcaster and to the advertisers and say, we want this show. And once that happens, then there's a great possibility that Primeval stands a chance of coming back.
Outstanding. Over the years, you've created a family of shows, Stargate, Sanctuary, and Primeval New World, and other endeavors you've been involved with. We have great admiration for your entire team, yourself, Ms. Horvath, everybody that has been involved with Primeval New World. And again, I'd like to thank you for your time today. We'll see you on the other side, on Facebook, on Twitter, in the wormhole, and to pun a phrase, let's dial the gate, or let's open the anomaly, or and see Primeval New World Season 2.
We're trying.
Thank you very much, sir.
Thanks, Ken.